Last week we were speaking about there seems to be some kind of a contradiction. Just we said that sometimes you have to daven long and lengthy and hard, long davening, and sometimes you have to daven really short. Yeah, that's what we said. There was Menachos Tefillah was one sharp, penetrating sword of a tefillah. In such a need, there's room for these lengthy kriya type tefillahs as well. That's what we were focusing on. And then he brought just he brought the stickle here, the Gemara from Brochas. Remember, the basis of the whole thing of kriya is that I'm talking to Hashem. In other words, kriya is a very focused, specifically aimed tefillah. It's aimed somewhere. It's not just a scream or a shout or a an izorek mashu. We brought this. We had a kasha. Here it is here. So we asked the kasha here. It says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how did he create the world? He created the world by speaking. We know that every word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Sorry, just before we do that, just hit me now. That's what we were dealing with. We were dealing with the difference between Moshe's tefillah, where he stood for 40 days davening and begging Hashem. With such a need, Moshe Rabbeinu also had that very short tefillah on El Kol Refonolo. And we saw that it was like Menashe's tefillah as well. Menashe davened at length to the Avodah Zarah. They didn't answer him. One short, very well put together tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut through. That's why we said so if the short, quick sword-like tefillah works, then what do you need the longest leptat tefillah for? After 30 seconds, Hashem says, I heard you, must speak. What are you carrying on for 40 days for? Because we said that the essence of this type of tefillah generally is that you're immediately from Hashem. You're standing before Hashem. When you daven another tefillah like the first one, the awesomeness of the tefillah, of the recognition, I'm standing in front of Hashem, repeats itself and repeats itself. And that we say we saw that from Torah. That was what we brought this shtickle Torah for. It said that with every let's find it, yeah. Oh, I'm gonna be sure. Called Dibu Vedibu, she hates me, Pia Kodesh Boch, who Yotzev Nishmosen should he sell? Oh, no, it comes before that. No. Where's the shekel that's come that we saw this?
It's Rabbi Yeshua, I say someone is traveling in the dangerous road. He has to make a
Yeah,
sound.
but just before that, Nachon. Ah, good. Excellent, yeah. So it starts just before that. Because I'll say that with every one of the Ten Commandments, when Hashem spoke the Ten Commandments, so that word that he said filled the entire world with beautiful smells and whatever. So the kasha is, if the first word filled the world, then where did the second one have space? Where was there room for the second one? So it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out a wind from his machsanim, from his storehouses, and he caused each of the diburim that he spoke to go to Gan Eden, making room for the next beautiful utterance. And that repeated itself. He quoted from the Pasuk that Shoshanim, do not read Shoshanim, Ele Sheshanim, that repeat themselves. In other words, Nakinami, once Hashem says one word, there's no room for anything else in the world. So Hashem has to take the word, he puts it in Gan Eden, and then there's room for the next one. Again, once again, I don't know what that means, but so what does that show us? That each word of Torah we say, each tefillah we say, in Achinami, fills up the whole world. and fills up the whole person. And therefore, there is no room for anything else. But Hashem, in his unbelievable, godless, infinite godless, makes space for another one, and another one, and another one. With each word of Torah, each effort a person puts into Torah, that's infinite. If it's infinite, there's nothing of that. I said one word of Torah. I said Breishis. Who's Breishis? Infinite. For sure, Breishis is infinite. So no, you've got it. You can't get more than infinite. There's no more infinite. Infinite is infinite. If you grab hold of infinite, you've got it. And Hashem makes space for another one and another one. But each one is still infinite. Okay, we don't get that. That's way beyond our comprehension. But it has to be that way, because Torah is the word of Hashem. And if Hashem is infinite, his word's infinite. He's not separate from his word.
It's like us. It's like us. We have a Kabakbo, he's a unknown Milvado, but we are existing also. That means he makes place.
That's exactly, excellent, beautiful, excellent. That's the same story. That's the same idea. Nachon. That's the same thing, the miracle we can't get. We don't understand that. 100%. The same way as there's a symptom which allows you and me to exist, there's also some kind of a symptom, let's use that word just for lack of a word, it's not exactly the same of all that takes place with every word that Akash Bohu speaks, that fills the whole world in Achinami, but there's place for another one. So tefillah is like that as well. When you're davening to Hashem, the words that you use develop a relationship with Hashem. There's no need for going over and over and over. However, all the power and all the infiniteness repeats itself in those tefillahs. If someone understands that, then the davening is never too long. Because for him, it's a whole different approach and different ways and different aspects of his relationship with Hashem. That's what it's reflecting. Each word, each tefillah is a whole new world. It's a whole subject. He needs a new kavan. It's a whole different story. In other words, there's room for when you and I understand each other, we don't need too many words. And people who have got some kind of chemistry, when they resonate with each other, they can sit in the room and be quiet for hours and they get each other. When you have somebody that you really connect and resonate with, then each word has meaning. Each conversation takes on a whole new meaning, and you want to have conversations, you want to share with that person. So it's flowing from the same place, but it manifests in two different ways. And then he brought from Yibishua. Someone's traveling should travel at Tfilah Katsara. What's the tefillah kasara? Hashem, save your people, remember the Israel, even as they go off to commit the sin, may their needs be before you. And we said, Ramchuna ben Akani, when he came into the Beis Midrash, used to say tefillah kasara. We also say that. So that's a very special tefillah. That's a very clear tefillah that comes out of that chemistry that we have with Hashem. Just one word and the guy gets you, understands exactly. He can finish your sentence for you. You know, he can finish your sentence for you because we get each other. So if I don't need long, lengthy words because I've already built, remember, Kriya was B'Shem. I already have this name of Hashem. I know who I'm talking to, and we relate. We resonate. We have this connection. So then I don't need a lot of words. But sometimes, because you have the relationship, each word takes on a whole new meaning, and therefore there's room for length as well. Now that's some of the depth of this thing called Kriya. Kriya b'shem. V'yikra b'shem Hashem. Shem means I'm grabbing hold of something that's relatable to, that I have a relationship with. Okay. Let's start on page S with Vav. I think that's where we're up to. Meaning to la Kriya, Shayu bo bebehirus ha'korosh ha'korosh bochu oimed al yodo lishmo tfilosof. The beginning of this tfil of Kriya, that's why it's so lengthy, and it's central to everything that we work on, the tochen and imuna and reality, is the clarity and the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing next to you, listening to your tfilah. Ravilian and Haniskav, v'achiyuv hamutlo kolecha litpalel alu zelot hanimtze b'tzorah. Another aspect of this Kriya, this fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing right here, listening to our tefillahs, is the obligation to daven for somebody else who's in Torah. It's always in Yonah de Yoma, but now it's just been a little bit unwrapped for us. It's Mamash in Yonah de Yoma. The natural tendency of a person who hasn't been completely battered by the selfishness and of this world is you see somebody else who's got a problem and you can help him. So then you feel like you want to help him as much as you can. If you can't help him, you can't help him. But you see somebody that's got a problem and you know how to help him, why wouldn't you help him? You're driving, you see someone's got a flat tire and he hasn't got a wheel spanner. And you have a wheel spanner. So you wouldn't stop and give him a wheel spanner to use. So for sure, it's not even a question. You can't help him, you can't help him. Guy comes and needs $1 million and you got an overdraft. But you would like to help him if you could. But you can't, okay? You see somebody walk and he falls and he's cut himself and whatever, you wouldn't do something to help him? You faint when you see blood. Fine, you call a doctor, you call a tzola. You don't just go home and whistle your way home. I'm not talking about New York. New York's got a special din, yeah. And if New York applies, I don't know, that works here. They detest, they showed people collapsing in the street, like actors and whatever, people just walk past. I'm saying, we're not talking about them. We're talking about normal people. We're talking in the from areas of New York. I'm not talking about them. You know, somebody that hasn't got money, needs money to hoof whatever. If you have the money, for sure, you'll give him the money. You'll lend it to him, you'll give it to him. You'll try and find a way to help him. Or you don't have the money, but you know somebody here who's got lots of money. You've got to ask him, listen, can you help your ankle? I'm collecting for a yosem, for a chasana. I'm not getting married. And I don't have the money, but I'm going to you because I'm collecting for this yosem that's getting married. You try and help him. You see somebody who's poor in spiritual qualities. He doesn't have Torah. He doesn't have Yirat Shamayim. When you say, Adam, you wouldn't help him. You'd say, come, let me learn with you a bit. Let me tell you about Shabbos. Of course you would. Want to help another Jew? The reason why we don't do that, by the way, is we don't think we can. The reason why we don't go up to the Chiloni sitting on the bus next to us and start telling him about Shabbos is we don't think it's going to make a difference. We don't think we can help him. So when somebody comes and asks you for $1 million, you don't think you have $1 million, so you can't help him. If you had $1 million, you didn't know about it. Fine. Same here. You have what to give this kid, but we don't know we have it. That's why we don't do it. It's not because we don't want to help. We'd love to be able to find the words and the strength inside to start talking to a stranger and start makariving him. We just, whatever. It's not because we don't want to help. If one of the Kiru professionals would get onto the bus, you'd say, hey, come talk to this guy. You know, because you want to help him, for sure. The truth is, every one of us has a very deep, close relationship with Avinu Avarachamim, with our beloved Father in heaven, who is capable of helping everybody. And therefore you can go to him and you can ask him to help your friend with whatever he needs. God comes to you, he's got a problem with chinuch, he's got a problem with shalom bayis, he's got a problem with whatever. You can't help him, man. People come to me today with chinuch questions, I say, don't ask me chinuch questions. I don't get it. Whatever I say is going to be mazik. Before I start answering chinuch questions, I mean, the basic principles we learned all along that haven't changed, but most of that's changed anyway today. Don't ask me, because I need lawyer there. I'll listen to the person, I'll empathize with him, I'll try and refer him to somebody that I think can help him. And then off he goes, and that's it. I don't think about it again. I'll see him again, I'm asking him, how's your kid? Pick up the phone and ask Akash Bochy to help this guy with his chinuch. David for him. And if not, so you're not a nice guy, so listen to the words. The God in Marcus, Daf Yud Aleph. Mani floy be plutim divrei hachazal yait makas. Kol she'ef shalo levakesh rachem emal chaveire ve'enu mevakesh nikra chaita. Anybody has the ability to call out to daven to a Kodesh Baruch Hu for somebody who needs help and doesn't is a chaita. It's not just like you could but you didn't, so whatever, you didn't. They're called a chaita. Shenema, גם אנכי חלילה לי מחייתה להשם, מחת להתפלל בעדכם. I'm going to be a sinner and not daven for you. שמעני עשה כן. הרי ממון אפשר. או שיש כאן חיסורן באמוני ביסוד הסיני נכיר ולקודש בו שירות התפילה. ממון אפשר, there's a problem here. If you don't daven for your friend, either it's because you don't have the אמונה in the basic foundations of how close you are to Kodesh Baruch Hu and the power of Tefillah, Shem Yisoid is Gedolim Be'ikra Torah, which are the basic foundations of our Torah. Or Sheyesh Kan Achzorius, V'zeh Sheyoyde Shebiyoda Lazo, U'malim V'einoize, U'malim Shachoyte Yikro. Or alternatively, you have the ability to help, but you just don't. Well, that's mamash cruelty in the extreme. You have a way of saving somebody from terrible situation, and you don't. that's a chayta. Ah, one, you don't for him. Well, either because you're a chayta, because you're an achzori, or because you don't really have the emunah that you can help you. So either way, mono shachlag, I think you got to work on yourself. Somebody sent me an email the other day. I wanted to tell me in the kollel. It's overwhelming him to daven for everything. He has to daven for at every tefillah. We have to daven for everything we need to daven for at every tefillah. It just gets a bit much. It's a faster merubah, not a faster. So he came up with a whole chart, splitting up his different tefillahs every day in the different tefillahs, putting different things that he davens for in. There's certain basic things that he davens for every tefillah. But then there's all the other things, you know. Whatever, he davens for his siblings at Shacharis on Sunday, and then he davens for the soldiers at Mincha on Sunday. And then he can't say that's the guy's working. That's the guy who's mamish in touch with reality. I was very impressed. I was very impressed because it just gets overwhelming, and then you just stop because it's too much. And getting through Shmoneh Esrei is already long, and we don't have the koyches for it. And now you're adding this whole personal prayer thing at the end that takes another 10 minutes, and eventually it's to fasten a room and you're not going to do it. So he split it up and he divided it up very intelligently. And just a rayon of Yazaga who's thinking about davening for other people. The Arizal says, I don't know, he'll bring it here. Maybe, well, I don't know. He's certainly I saw it in one of the other Sephardi movies. The Arizal says, before a person davens, he has to be makabal on himself the mitzvah of after Recha Kamaicha. There is sort of shayrish or cult villas after Recha Kamaicha. You're coming to ask a father to help you, and you're beating up his son at the same time. Why would he help you? You know, you ask any father. Yeah, we're all fathers, right? You ask any father, what would you rather? That your kids fighting with each other, but they're nice to you? Well, they're not so nice to you, but they get on well with each other. There's nothing worse for a father than when his kids are fighting, and they're not talking to each other, and they're angry with each other, and they're mulching each other. It's horrible. Rather be, don't talk to me, be horrible to me. It's painful. I live with it, though, but when they're beating each other, it's horrible. Same as a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that you're not doing all the mitzvahs, you're not doing everything else you do, but there's achdus amongst you. Proper achdus, not what they out there in the street call achdus. Something about proper achdus. Then a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then nothing will happen. They say Czechoslovakia to a large extent, I think it was Czechoslovakia, was to a large extent spared a lot of the horrors of the Holocaust. And they said because there was achdus there. There was no reform and whatever, and all the Haskalah and whatever that took over the rest of Europe just as a hagdomah to the Holocaust. I think they said Czechoslovakia wasn't spared from the Holocaust, but to a large extent, I think they said Czechoslovakia. I'm mistaking them, but there was one place in Europe that was to a large extent spared the horrors. They said it was because of the Achdus. We saw that from Chazal, we saw it in Tanakh. Also, places we weren't so shremitarian mitzvahs, but there was a unity. Nothing happened. There were places where there was frum as anything, but they were biting each other, and then there was a chumah. The mitkach, and that's obvious because we're dealing with Hashem here, dealing with Tati. So you get up to David, you can daven for your neighbor, and you don't. understand there's a problem. There's a problem. Again, practically, how you do this, like I said, this younger man had a problem. He wants to do this, but it's just too much. So fine. So you find a technique. How you able to daven for people who have problems? Rav Avigdor Miller says you don't have to wait for Shmoneh Esrei. You see an ambulance driving past. You don't take out your notebook and say, oh, yeah, I must daven for the yid that was in that ambulance for a Refuah Shleimah. Daven for him now. If the yid in that ambulance, Hashem should bless him with a Refuah Shleimah. You just bought eternity there. You walk in the street, you see somebody. You walk and you see somebody you know needs a shidduch. Well, daven now for shidduch for him. You don't have to wait for Shmoneh Esrei. There's plenty of opportunities. Rav Avigdor Miller has a whole share on this. Person's walking around a frum neighborhood. Wow. There's literally diamonds lying there. Just another year. Hashem should look after him. Give Jews brachos, even if you don't know that he's got a problem. You see somebody, you walk into daven, he's a guy sitting there. Yeah. Doesn't need to know. You walk past the person's house. You know, he's got a daughter. Daven for the shidduch. I'm saying, whatever. There's so much. You've just become aware of this. There's so much greatness lurking in these few lines of this chazal. It opens up a whole new world of godless. It's unbelievable. This person he killed b'shogeg. He's not a murderer in the strict sense of the word. He was negligent. He was seriously negligent. So he's got to go to the Yer Miklat, which is not such a pleasant experience. He's in Golos, so not a poshut. And he stays there till the Kohen Gadol dies. So don't tell me he's not going to have some fleeting thoughts in his mind about, you know, is he still alive? Oh, you know, no, when's he going to die already? You know, so you have a fleeting, these things. The mothers of the Kohen Gadols used to go and bring food and clothes, and you know, like a Yiddish Baba used to come and take care of the people at the Yer Miklat. So they'll daven, not that they won't daven, they'll die, but they'll daven that they should live. It's enough to say to the guy, don't daven that he dies. No, daven that he'll live. Why are the Kohanim connected to this? Why should you daven that they shouldn't die? Because they should have davened for the door and they didn't. There was this person got eaten by a lion in the domain, in the jurisdiction of Rabbi Shur ben Levi. Rabbi Shur ben Levi used to have a chavrusa with Eliyahu every day. And Eliyahu stopped coming. I'm not sure he's talking about. He's talking about the Kohen Gadol here. Because Eliyahu Navi, why did Eliyahu stop coming to Bishur? Because somebody got eaten by a lion in your turf. You should have been davening. Things like that shouldn't happen. So to the Kohen Gadol should have been davening. That something like that shouldn't have happened in his town. That somebody will get killed by accident. No, this person should have died. One second. I don't know what he's saying. Just let me look and see if I can work this out. I know this Gemara. I learned this Gemara many times. I just don't see what he's saying here. Yes, Eliyahu didn't speak to him because of a punishment, because this happened. So what's the Levush want here? The Kohen Gadol did not. That's what I thought. The Kohen Gadol didn't daven that things like that shouldn't happen in the Jewish people during his lifetime. Now, this person who's sitting in the Amiklat, he's because of this thing happened because the Kohen Gadol didn't daven. So the Torah now requires him to go into Golus until the Kohen Gadol dies. So he's in pain. He can't go home until the Kohen Gadol dies. And he's going to daven for the Kohen Gadol to die. And his tefillah will be accepted. Because the Kohen Gadol deserves to die because he didn't daven that this thing shouldn't have happened. So therefore, the Kohen, another Kohen Gadol will be appointed who will daven and these things won't happen. So this is a Moedika Levush. It's when the guy is davening for the Kohen Gadol to die, it's a mitzedek. The Kohen Gadol deserves to die. It's not just because this guy wants to go home. No, it's because. Mashma Shemafarish, the Lord actually is Hashashir at Sahi Panel of Kohen Gadol Shiobus. And other rabbi writes the Bezer Tayrum and Savavavish Yikra came. The Levush is Nifla. It's a moment unbelievable practice. Think Hiddish. It's not just that the guy will daven that the Kohen Gadol should die because he wants to go home. The Torah wants him to daven for him that he should die. Because we want to get rid of this Kohen Gadol who wasn't davening and feeding the tzar of the people, and he wasn't davening for them. That's how this tekole happened. So we want to get rid of him. We want to get rid of him so we can put another Gadol in, Gadol Dershiv, Velo Yeshiv, tekoles Bisrael, that he will daven for them, and then these things won't happen anymore. You've heard of a pshat like that? We've all learned Makkos. We've all seen this Gemara how many times? See, that's a pshat. It's worth learning Makkos again just to learn this Levush. Wow. The Kohen Gadol didn't daven. So this guy went into the forest, was chopping wood, somebody died. As Magir, the Kohen Gadol to die. So we send this guy into Golus, but he wants to go home. So what's he going to do? He has to stay there till the Kohen Gadol dies. So he davens that the Kohen Gadol should die. That's what the Torah wants. Now the Kohen Gadol dies, we can put a new Kohen Gadol that will daven to Hashem, and these things won't happen. Oh, that's a lot of achrayas, eh? Noi radova, the noi kiva yoded at a time.
We allow someone to daven, and another one will die. I don't know if.
Normally, a person won't daven for somebody else to die. In Akinami, that's the amkus of this levush. Normally, normally this guy that's in Golus, before he goes to Golus, he's living his life normally. Before he killed somebody, he would never daven for the Kohen Gadol to die. So the Kohen Gadol can't die early, because why should he die early? So Kodesh Baruch Hu said that. Again, I'm but that's what the levush seems to be saying.
Yeah.
So what does Akash Baruch Hu do? He arranged for this guy to go to the forest. And while this other guy that got killed has to get killed, I don't know. He's also got his cheshbonus. We're not discussing him. And while this guy was chosen to be the cheshbon gamken, the guy who chopped the wood, why does he have to go into Golus and daven for the Kohen Gadol? There's also a cheshbon there. But Hashem wants him to go into Golus because now, and what does he make the guy coming out of Golus Tolu on? The Mrs. Kohen Gadol, he could have made a tolo on a million things. No, he makes a dafka tolo on Mrs. Kohen Gadol. Now this guy's going to daven that the Kohen Gadol should die. That's exactly what Hashem wants. Because now the Kohen Gadol could die. Because if no one davens for him to die, he can't die early. That's what the Levush was saying. I've got 20 kashas on this already.
Okay.
No, you're right. It's a nifle of a nifle. It's a marvel of a nifle. The whole ganze cheshbon is here. Maybe the Pundach Achas, you know, the famous story is Hashem brings the guy who fell off the roof to the roof he was going to fall off because before that, this happened and he stole from him. Okay. We'll have to stop here, Mitz Hashem. We'll look at this again next week. We're going to. Levush is you just have a look. The Torah is a little bit more sophisticated and deep than we think. God killed somebody by mistake, so the Torah says you got to go to Golus. Why Dafka Golus? How long does he got a goddess for? Till the Kohen Gadol dies. So we worried he'll daven for the Kohen Gadol to die, so the mother takes care of him. So that's how we always learn Shnat in that Gemara. So now he won't daven. Why won't he daven? I don't know, because the Kohen Gadol's mother is giving him stuff, whatever, stickle shreichad. There's no Shnat at all. This Kohen Gadol didn't daven. That's why this thing happened. So how are we going to get the Kohen Gadol out of the way? You can't fire a Kohen Gadol. So you send someone off to Golis and you tell him, you know when you can come home when the Kohen Gadol dies? Oh, he's going to daven for the Kohen Gadol to die. Oh, good. Now Hashem says, fine. Someone daven for the Kohen Gadol to die. Finish with this Kohen Gadol. Give me a new one that'll daven. Then these things won't happen anymore. Well, that's something to contemplate. Well, big. Okay. So what comes out of today, let's just come over with something halacha lemaaseh, is that it's not just a nice thing to do, because we feel emotional about, you know, the Chatufim and because of the soldiers and because of all the Tsar and all the refugees. If you think about it, it's too much. It's overwhelming if you think about how people are living, you know. People have been living in hotels for three months. You know, the people that came out on the 7th of October, they ran away from their homes. They haven't been back yet. You know, they're living out of suitcases in a hotel for 3 months. You know, it's like when you go traveling after, even on holiday, after a week in a hotel, you've had enough. There's enormous suffering. So we feel emotional. We've got to daven for them. You see, there's a whole new approach to davening it. You have the ability to help these people. We have the ability to help these people by davening, by talking to Hashem about it. That's what comes out of this. We say Tehillim after davening. Well, davening is the Rabbonim. Davening but Sibu is the Rabbonim. The Tehillim afterwards is a Deraisa. People don't realize. He davens the whole Tehillim, davening with Kavanah, whatever, and then they start saying Tehillim, he's already walking out. You're walking. That's the Raisas. That's the Salacha. That's Mamash, the Salacha. You can't have Kavanah when we're saying Tehillim after davening. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, that's where you makayim. At least we're davening for everybody. Whatever tzar they in, Hashem should, that's a time to makayim this Raisa. Iftla just needs a bit of, we need to be woken up a little bit, that's all. Okay, Shkoyach Godel.
Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Thank you.